Go ahead, Miss Sandy. Help yourself. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Brother Top. Enjoyed that singing this morning. How about you? Amen. Thank God I can still pray through. You say, what's that woman hollering about? Well, you watch your son come from a state of overdose to a state of out knocking on doors telling people about Jesus. You might get happy too. Amen. Hallelujah right there. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad God still saves old sinners. Ain't you? Take your Bible and turn with me this morning to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 25, 24. Acts chapter number 24. We'll look at a verse of Scripture this morning and shared something with you I felt the Lord laid on my heart. Acts chapter number 24. I don't think we'll get to the meat of the message right till the end, so don't give up on me halfway, okay? Amen. Sometimes I feel like I lose a good portion of you in the first 10 minutes. I feel like if I don't preach the meat of the message during the introduction, you don't get it. Amen? Because your attention span's about that long unless you're watching TV. Amen? Had a man in church tell me one time that he had the entire series of the show that came on or the movie, whatever it was, Lonesome Dove, Cowboy Picture. He said it's over 6 hours long. He said, and I took out all the commercials. I thought, when you go to the bathroom, dude, you can't sit through church 30 minutes without running out. Amen. How you going to watch a six-hour movie? Amen. Thing is, I believe we hear what we want to hear.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The Bible said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I hope you came hungry this morning. In Acts chapter number 24, we've got a story where the Apostle Paul is set before the governor of Judea. And Paul is there to plead his case. In other words, Paul is not a criminal. Talk to me. I hear convicts, and I believe in the prison ministry wholeheartedly. I love it. Amen? Hey, if I wasn't a pastor, I'd preach in jails every week, Brother Freddie. Amen. They're easier to preach to than y'all are.
Yes, sir.
Talk about a captive audience, amen. They ain't got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you preach an hour and they're still hollering, preach on, preach on, amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm a firm believer in the jail ministry. But I've had several instances where a convict or a convicted person in jail, they like to refer themselves to the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute, dude. Y'all have nothing in common. If you're saved, Jesus, that's it.
Yeah.
Paul was not in prison or didn't get in prison for knocking off a liquor store.
Yeah.
Do you understand that? He wasn't cooking meth in his basement.
Yeah.
He was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was the crime that he was guilty of.
Yeah.
And I've not yet met a convict who was guilty of that. Amen. So he's before this man, Felix, and he pleads his case. And the governor hears him. This happens again in Paul's life with a fellow by the name of Agrippa. similar circumstances and similar outcomes. I want you to look with me at verse number 25, and I want us to look at Felix, the governor's response to Paul. The Bible said, "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come." Stop right there and look at me just for a minute. As he reasoned. You know what that means? Brother Freddie, I believe that means to give thought to something. Does it not? The Bible said, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord." That means to think about it. He heard what Paul said, and he reasoned within himself about what? Righteousness, temperance. What was the third one? Was it judgment to come? How long has it been since you reasoned those three things? How long has it been since you really sat down and thought about righteousness? You don't hear that word much anymore. I know it was a word, a slang word the hippies used in the 70s when something was cool, they would say it was righteous. Righteous doesn't mean cool, friend. Righteous means holy and right. He reasoned about righteousness. We ought to reason about righteousness. That would be living right. That would be doing right. That would be treating others right. That would be not gossiping on Facebook, right?
Hello, preacher.
Somebody talk to me this morning. That would be not holding a grudge. That would be not bearing false witness. That would be not having a root of bitterness in our heart. I'm talking about righteousness. Amen. Now listen, spiritually, I am righteous before God. Because Christ hath imputed his righteousness unto me. In other words, I didn't have enough righteousness on my own, so Jesus lent me his. Are you all right? But in my flesh, I'm here to tell you, and in your flesh, I guarantee you, there's unrighteousness. So Felix heard the words, and he reasoned about this thing of righteousness and then temperance. Who knows what temperance means? Restraint. Is that right? Is that a good word? Controlling yourself. We are living in an era of no self-control. Are you listening? You either learn to control yourself or somebody will control you. Can I get a witness right there? Y'all help me this morning. Temperance, self-control. Well, I just couldn't help myself. That's your problem. If it goes through my mind, it comes out your mouth. My mouth, you're a liar. It just came through my mind, so it came out my mouth. You're a liar. You do not say everything you think. You can control yourself if you want to. Amen. Well, when somebody does me a certain way, I just can't help it. Yes, you can. Amen. That's called temperance. That's called controlling yourself. I wonder how many of us witnessed a lack of self-control Thursday. About lunchtime. I wonder how many of us by 1 o'clock, did I say Wednesday? I meant Thursday. Did I say Thursday? I wonder how many of us on Thursday was laying around somewhere going, oh. Come on, talk to me. Y'all getting quiet. Temperance. Felix is thinking about these things, Brother Freddie. He's really, in his heart, he is really considering what this man is saying. I wonder if you'd consider what I'm saying this morning. If you had really reasoned in your heart about righteousness, about temperance. He didn't stop there. Judgment to come, he said. We used to sing a song in the choir at White Oak. There's going to be a payday someday. But not just for those who believe. There's going to be a payday for those who don't believe. Amen? Now let's finish reading the verse this morning. Now, I hope I've got you thinking that's where Paul has Felix this morning. Paul has Felix, probably for the first time in his life, he is examining his self. What's he examining? He's examining his righteousness. He's examining his temperance or his self-control. And he is examining the judgment that is to come. Amen. When I got saved, you know what it was, Brother Randy, that drew me to Christ? It wasn't the goodness of God. And God is good, don't get me wrong. It wasn't the love of God, and God is love. That is not what drew me to Christ. What drew me to Christ was the judgment of God. I know we're living in a society that don't preach on judgment anymore. Why, little Joel probably wouldn't even use that word, but I will. Amen. I will. I'll you caught. Why? Because we're all going to stand before God. Every one of us, there will be a judgment. For the saved, there will be a judgment seat of Christ. And we'll be judged according to the works that we've done in our bodies. For the lost, there will be a great white throne judgment. And at that judgment, nobody makes it. Amen. There is a judgment coming. We think it's a million years away, or so we live like it is. But it could be soon and very soon. I believe with all my heart that the Apostle Paul was looking for the return of Christ while he lived. Sincerely. You say, well, if he believed it and it's been 2,000 years, that means we're really getting closer. Amen? Y'all all right? Let's look at the rest of the verse. What verse was it? 25? The Bible said, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, watch the next two words. Felix trembled. Felix trembled. What causes you to tremble? Somebody talk to me. Come on, loud. Y'all wake up this morning. What causes you to tremble?
Fear.
Did you know what? That's something I see very little of in American churches. I travel across this country. I'll be in Maryland next week. And I mean, brother, everywhere I go, we preach, and nobody is afraid of the judgment of God anymore. I remember Brother Randy when we were at White Oak. Brother Jeff Bird, he pastors down here at Gateway, but he was our junior church pastor. You remember that? And he had me come over and preach for him one Sunday morning. I preached on hell. That day, a lady called our pastor, Brother Earl Partain, and chewed him out because some young preacher scared her son. She said, how dare that guy scare my child? You know what Brother Earl said? Good job, son.
Yeah. Amen.
Good job, son. The Bible said, and others saved with fear.
Yes, sir.
The judgment of God should fear us.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Hey, if you were to go, if you had a court date tomorrow over some crime that you committed, you would sit in great anxiety outside that courtroom and wring your hands waiting for your name to be called. Why? Because you know judgment is fixing to be passed. But spiritually this morning, we're living in a state that we think it will never come. It'll never happen to me. I can live how I want as long as I want, but judgment is coming. Does that scare you? I'll be honest with you. I'm so saved it's pitiful. I couldn't lose my salvation if I wanted to.
Amen.
I couldn't sell it. Why? I didn't buy it. He did.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not here. I'm not mine. I'm his. I belong to him.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you. I'm a little bit afraid of that judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah.
Somebody says, oh, I can't wait. Woo. I ain't no hurry. I'm in a hurry for heaven. I want that part, but that judgment seat. I'm afraid so many are going to, I hear people say all the time, oh, I can't wait to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. I don't know how many times the Lord may repeat that statement. Do you really think God would look at you and say, well done? Come on, let's reason like Felix did.
Yes, sir.
Would the Lord look at us if he returned and got his church out of here today? Would it be pats on the back and attaboys for everybody? Good job. You did everything you could do. Man, you remind me of Paul. You fought a good fight. You kept the faith. Hey, man, listen. Hey, I wonder this morning. The fear of God ought to strike in our hearts.
Amen.
The Bible said as he reasoned that he trembled. Let's finish the verse. I'll never get done with this. Felix trembled and answered. Watch what he said. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Man, what a statement. I want you to notice a couple of things this morning. We'll go to the house. But I hope we'll go thinking about what we've heard this morning. I want you to notice the disturbance of Felix. The disturbance of Felix. The Bible said what he heard caused him to tremble. Listen to me carefully. What he heard caused him to tremble. What did he hear? The preached word of God. You can go in the northern states, Brother Randy. Somebody said, why do you preach up north all the time? Because they listen. All they've ever heard is eat a wafer and do confession, say seven Hail Marys, go to the house, you'll be all right. That's all they know. All they know is getting in a closet, looking through a knot hole at a knot head and confessing their sins. That's all they know. All they know is confessing their sins to a father who dresses like a mother. All they know, all they've been fed is a pack of lies that has nothing to do with the Word of God. And the first time they hear about the love of God and the blood of Christ and how they can know they'll spend forever when they die, man, they're like little birds with their mouths open, and they'll come like Felix to the altar, trembling as sinners, wanting to be born again. But we've heard it, hadn't we? And we've heard it, and we've heard it, and we've heard it. Preaching bothers nobody anymore. Somebody said, what kind of preaching you want in your church? I want the kind of preaching that bothers people. Amen. I want the kind of preaching that gets up under your skin. I want the kind of preaching where you say, that preacher's been reading my mail. Somebody's been talking to him about me. I want the kind of preaching that gets right down where you live and cause you to tremble. You say, preacher, you don't scare me. I don't want to scare you. I want the Holy Ghost to rattle your cage this morning and cause us to fear God again. Amen? We okay? The disturbance of Felix, what he heard caused him to tremble. He was afraid. I thought about that last night. When we were little at White Oak, I was just a kid. I was still in grammar school. There was a film, I remember they put up a reel-to-reel projector in our sanctuary. There was a film that traveled around the country, Brother Freddie. You may have seen it. It was called The Burning Hail. Anybody ever see that? The Burning Hail. Never forget, as long as I live, it was more graphic then than anything Hollywood had put out. And I remember as a boy sitting watching that film, watching people cast in the lake of fire. You know what that thing did to me? It scared the daylights out of me. It scared the daylights out of me. The reality of hell and the reality of the judgment of God, it ought to cause us to tremble. It ought to bother us. You say, well, I'm saved, I'm all right. It ought to bother you that other people are going to die without Christ. Amen? And it ought to bother you about your own lifestyle. It ought to bother you about your own sin. Hey, just because you got saved don't mean you got a free pass to live any way you want. We still ought to have some fear of God. Amen. Amen. We're living in a day when there's no fear of God. There's no respect for God. There's no respect for God's man. There's no respect for God's house. Some of you behave better at Chili's than you do in the church. Amen. We ought to fear the Lord this morning. The Bible said he reasoned. In other words, he thought about it. He didn't let it go in one ear and out the other. He considered what the man said. He reasoned. He thought about righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. And the Bible said it caused him to tremble. How long has it been since the preaching scared you? How long has it been since the Word of God made you uncomfortable? That's what Felix was. I imagine he was looking around going, oh my goodness. You know what bothered him? I got to do something about this. I'm at a crossroads in my life. He was disturbed. I'd like to see us get disturbed for the cause of Christ again. Somebody said revival will never come in America again. Oh, if we'll get disturbed enough, it will. If we'll get bothered enough by the Word of God, it will. If we'll get tore up enough in the fear of God, it will. Amen. We okay this morning? The disturbance of Felix, what he heard bothered him. But that ain't enough, is it? Do you know he knew what was right? When Paul walked off the scene, Felix knew in his heart what was right. He knew it, Brother Fred. He heard the truth, and something inside him said, that's right. Have you ever had that happen to you? Something on the inside of you telling you, you know that's right. Hey, you know that's right. You know you ought to be saved. You know you ought to repent of your sin. You know you need Christ in your life. You know that preacher. I know you hate his guts. I know you don't like him. You think he's too loud. You think he preaches too long. And he spits on people on the front row. But in your heart of hearts, you know that he's right.
Yeah. Amen.
That's where Felix stood, Brother Freddie. He knew that man had something.
Amen.
Whether you know it or not, I got something this morning. You agree with that, Rusty Adams?
Yes,
I know what I've got.